It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 5 of season 3, and we're looking at number 49 this week. Lots of football going on, man. Almost every team played. Ashdown Panthers still took their bye week in week 0. Love that.
Yeah.
Everybody else played. We got all the stats, all the important information. We've got all the players that played well, and we'll talk about that. Then we'll preview the games for the coming week. And, Tony, number 49, you know, lots of baseball players, mostly baseball players.
Mostly baseball players. Rod Guidry, I remember when I really paid a lot of attention to baseball. Rod Guidry was a really good pitcher.
Yep.
Tim Wakefield pitched for the Pirates and the Red Sox. The Pirates kind of used him in an unusual way. He started somebody that was also a knuckleballer out of the bullpen. I always thought when the Pirates lost to the Braves in the National League Championship, they threw Drabeck into the ninth inning, and I always thought maybe they win that game if they bring Wakefield in, because that's a totally different look from Drabeck.
Yeah.
But they didn't. I hate you, Sid Bream. Hoyt Wilhelm, another great pitcher. Lee Smith. Jerry Royce, another guy kind of dear to my childhood, being an old bucko. And, of course, the great Charlie Huff, who just – he was a knuckleballer as well. Matter of fact, he threw every illegal pitch that Vaseline ball, snot ball, you name it. Charlie Huff threw it, and he threw it for everybody. He played for like 20 different teams.
That's right. But he did play for the Rangers.
He did play for the Rangers.
For a long time, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And
football, really the only one I could find is the Hall of Famer Bobby Mitchell, wide receiver for the Redskins. I knew they'd make you happy to put him on.
Yeah, and I remember him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, good football player, but mostly baseball players, and that's what you get in when you get in some of these weird numbers.
Yeah.
Seems like football doesn't ever get up to these. You know,
well, we're getting into the 50s for a while, and that's going to be a lot of linebackers.
Linebackers and linemen.
Yep. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to that.
So that'll be good. But anyway, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Let's talk about the DeQuean Leopards. Tony, Leopards go up to Mena. You know, and I don't know. I don't really know how to say this, but – every year we think we're there with them, and every year we end up on the short end or for a long time of a pretty wide score.
Well, and a score I think that was a little wider than the game actually was. You know, 28-0. Yeah, a couple big plays, a 55-yard pass, a 34-yard pass, contributed to that, and three turnovers, which we just can't afford to do in the flex bone. First downs were even. There was only a 75-yard difference in total yards, but Bearcats took advantage of their opportunities, and we did not. We were down in the red zone a couple of times, came away with nothing, and you just can't do that against a good football team. Kyle Williamson and Dallas Logan had solid games on defense for the Leopards. Both had 7 tackles and a tackle for loss. Logan even had a couple of passes defended. Jake Martin offensively led the Leopards with 103 total yards. Landon Wise had 61. And, I would say that three-fourths of the game, it felt like that it was just a back-and-forth, kind of a tussle between two teams who were pretty equally matched. But the Bearcats were able to make the big plays, and we were not.
Well, and I think that's kind of what I was alluding to. You know, when you look at the stats of that game, you would not think it was 28-0.
No, if you covered up the score, that's not what you'd predict.
Yeah, and basically what it came down to, for the most part, a couple of big plays for Mena, some missed opportunities and turnovers for the Leopards. And that's the thing about the flex bone. You can't have missed opportunities.
No.
Because it takes you so long, you know, it takes time to drive down the field, and once you get down there, you got to score when you get down there.
You know, some bright spots for the Leopards. I thought we threw the ball well Friday night. I thought Jake Martin did a good job. He showed a lot of poise at quarterback, stepped up in the pocket and threw the ball. We had some young men make some nice catches. So I do think that we are more of a threat to put the ball in the air than maybe we've been in recent years. But you got to hang on to the football.
Yeah.
And that's just that's part of an offense that is designed to possess the football means that you have to possess the football. And we just didn't do a good job of it Friday night.
Well, you know, moving forward now, this week, the Sevier County Rivalry Week, DeQueen, or Horatio comes to DeQueen, and, you know, that game, a game we love.
Yeah.
Because we like to play, people playing in town, you know, local. There's going to be a big crowd there.
Yeah.
It's going to be kindergarten night. I mean, there's a lot of different things going on that's going to make the crowd huge.
Yeah. And you figure the lines are going to be sky high after, and we'll talk about the lines more in a little bit, but they're coming off a win. And the Leopards are going to be looking to avenge a loss. So ought to be a great ball game.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good ball game. Let's see what Coach Bell has to say about that.
Coach, we talked last week, just couldn't have any turnovers, no big plays. But four turnovers kept your offense out of the end zone, and four big plays put Mina into the end zone. But other than those eight plays, boy, it's a very good football game.
Yeah, we definitely can't have those turnovers. You know, losing the turnover battle 4-0 is never good. Again, the big plays that they had, our DBs were in the right position. You know, so that was a plus. I just, you know, Mina went and made a good play on the ball. I really don't count after watching the film that last touchdown they had. That was an incomplete pass. That wasn't a lateral. But they picked it up. Nobody, and the guy on my sideline blew the whistle. And it was the inadvertent whistle I tried to get. But anyways, I think it was a 21-0 ball game anyway you look at it. But it should have been, you know, a tighter ball game than that without turnovers.
Coach, what a scene last year at Horatio. I mean, lawn chairs all around the field, overflow crowd despite a rainstorm about an hour before the game. And just a great football game. I know that it was everything that you envisioned when you renewed this Sevier County rivalry with Horatio.
Yeah, I was glad to see it. You know, Sevier County, it's Horatio and DeQueen. It's all about small towns and small towns coming together. I thought Horatio, we had a great crowd there. You know, like you said, they're standing room only on both sides of the field. And I'm hoping for the same thing here at DeQueen, you know, so we can keep, football alive in Sevier County.
Coach, give us a scouting report on Coach Paul David Willis's Horatio Lions.
Yeah, they look good against Costat Friday night. Of course, he's in his wing tee. He's got a really good running back there in number 11. They like to get outside some, you know, but with the wing tee, it's always misdirection, so you got to make sure you do your job and do it well. They didn't throw it much because they didn't have to against Costat because they pretty much dominated the game on moving the ball. But, again, they can spread it out and throw out of that wing tee and get some tricky looks.
Well, finally, Coach Bell, your keys to victory for the Leopards.
Again, I say it every week. You know, as long as our kids play with great attitude and great effort, I'll be happy. But, man, just like last week, we got to keep those turnovers to the minimum. And no big plays, nothing over 15 yards at least. You know, I like to say nothing more than 10 ever, but that's a tall order. So if we can keep those two things going, I think we should have a victory.
Wanted to take a second about a returning sponsor this year, and we appreciate them so much. That is UA Cossetot. Go to www.cccua.edu today, and you can see everything that they have to offer on their websites, including how to pay for college, all of the programs and areas of study that you can expect to find on there, as well as so much more, like more information on student life, their community and workforce programs, and you can even apply and enroll right there online. cccua.edu is a fantastic kind of state-of-the-art website. And they have all of their announcements on there. And I'm looking at the very first thing here. We are celebrating 50 years of Cossetot.
Just what I was going to talk about. 50 years, 1975 to 2025. And they've got a whole week of celebration going on this very week.
That's right.
They got something for the students. They got something for the employees. Mm-hmm. And on Saturday the 6th.
Yes.
I know this.
Yeah.
That is Giving Day.
Yeah.
And if you're familiar with Giving Day for UA Cossetot, that is something that usually happens after Thanksgiving or right around then.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they moved it up till this 50th anniversary celebration, and that's the day you can give money to them and help them out for their future needs.
That's right.
And they do that each year. but this year they moved it up. Also on September 6th, they're going to have a big community celebration out at the soccer fields.
Yeah.
Right out here on Colin Ray Drive in DeQuain.
Yeah.
For the entire community.
It's going to be awesome. There are going to be some soccer matches you can watch at some point during the day. And then there's going to be, there's so much going on there. So you can expect to have some family fun and food and all of that out Saturday, September 6th for UA Cositas 50 years. They're just doing like, it's like a community day. Come one, come all, bring everybody out there. We had Madeline Jones on the radio to talk about it, and it sounds like a really, really exciting event. So lots of stuff going on Saturday for UA Cositas, and we appreciate them so much. 50 years from 1975 to 2025 right now. You know what I'm saying? This is absolutely amazing. And you want to talk about community partners, UA Cositas, absolutely involved in so much in the community.
They really are. And if you talk about sports, you know, mm-hmm. their soccer team's playing right now.
That's right.
You're going to play this Saturday.
Yeah.
And then you've got basketball coming up soon.
Yeah.
You know, over the historic Bank of Locksburg Gymnasium. I was in there just the other day. It's an amazing facility.
That's right.
And they've really done a lot of work on it.
Yeah, it really is awesome. And you can go to UA Cositas Colts for any Colts fans out there. You can support them directly. And they have a whole website with the schedules and rosters and everything that you need to know about all of the Colts teams. Soccer, basketball, and shooting sports all going strong there. So go to uacositascolts.com. But also, you can hit up www.cccua.edu.
Ashdown Panthers, the one team out of our teams that had week zero off, they're going to host the Mills University Comets. Mills beat Ashdown last year 46-0 at Mills.
Wow.
And they opened the season with a 28-17 win over the Osceola Seminoles.
Ah.
And Osceola, way up in the northeast part of the state. But Osceola, known for really good football team. So,
wow.
I'm going to say Mills has got some talent here. You know,
well, it's tough for the Panthers, right? Week zero off, that just seems – I mean, is it like a draw for who gets week zero off?
I don't know how that works, to be honest.
If it is a draw, that's a bad one for the Panthers, right? Because everybody else has had a game in.
Yeah, I think what they do is they play they kind of go backwards. Mm. You start the last game. Mm. And you do play your conference games, and you got to get all those done. Then you've got four weeks to play three games.
Yeah.
So you got to find those games. Well, they didn't find one. That's what I think.
Right, right.
But then
week zero off, and then right away to Little Rock. It's a tough one.
Yeah. Well, they're going to play at Ashdown this year.
Oh, they are. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. They're going to play at Ashdown. So that'll be a helpful. You know. When you look at Mills, they played really well on defense, and they had a whole lot of penalties, but they overcame them.
Mm.
So, they had a sophomore quarterback there that did the majority of the heavy lifting. He carried the ball 10 times for 163 yards and one touchdown. So, somebody the Ashdown Panthers are going to have to look at. So,
yeah.
You know, the Ashdown having an off week, you've got to come back and play somebody that's already played a week.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get those first game jitters out of the way.
Yep.
The one good thing about them playing, they're playing at Ashdown.
Yeah.
They don't have to go play on the road in the first game, which I would think would be extremely tough if it's the second game for the home team and the first game for you.
Sure.
So, you know, I think that's really a benefit to the Panthers, but looking forward to seeing what the Panthers do this year, and they're going to face the Mills Comets this Friday night.
This is Jim Cross with head football coach Eric McCaslin. Hey, coach, it's game week. Talk about the excitement of game week. You've been practicing all summer long, and it's game week.
Man, you think it's never going to come whenever you first start summer practice, and then now it's finally here, and you're like, man, I wish I had another week to prepare, but no, we're ready to go. I think the kids are ready to hit somebody else besides each other. Ready to execute at a high level. I think we're excited to get a chance to prove something. Mm-hmm. I think these early games playing against these big powerhouses really give you a chance to see where your team's at, you know, way before the playoffs even comes, and it gives you an idea of what you need to work on as the season continues to progress. But kids are excited. Everybody showed up today on a Labor Day holiday, ready to go. Whole team was here, ready to practice. So I'm excited to see what we do this week or this Friday.
Coach, tell us about Amari Spencer. Boy, at the Murfreesboro game, he made two or three plays. He like he shot out of cannon over at safety. Talk about his progression from last year to this year.
Yes, sir. Amari's starting to figure it out. I think he's starting to understand how to play the position of safety a lot better. He's always had the tools. He's always had everything you need. I think it's just the understanding for what he had to do. And now you can see it on the field. He's playing fast. He's breaking up a lot of passes because he's right where he needs to be. Whereas last year, you just saw him maybe a step behind. You know, maybe he's missing that play or whatever because he's still trying to understand it. But being able to play last year as a young, as a sophomore, getting out there and getting those reps against that kind of talent, I think, has helped Amari grow tremendously and definitely going to help our defense on that back end for him to be able to do that, for sure.
Coach, talk about Frederick Hunter. We had a scare earlier in the summer with an injury. He seems to be fine. Tell us what Frederick Hunter brings to the table.
Oh, man, can't say enough about Fred. First off, he hurt his finger trying to – he was squatting 500 pounds, almost got it up, and then it came down on his finger on the spot bar and had a little bit of an injury, but we got that – settled now, and he's back full strength, just the strength and power. I think, you know, just saying that 500-pound squat, that brings a lot of force to the interior of the defense, but definitely on the O-line, you know, whenever we're running our stuff. I mean, Fred's explosive. He's not just strong, so it's definitely going to be a load. He's not just an overly tall guy, so he's under a length of a lot of guys' pads early. So I think that definitely helps to disrupt on the inside. And Fred sees what all the strength pays off with. I mean, he's benched 320, so, I mean, he's powerful all the way around. And it's a good guy to have on your side rather than somebody to go against.
Coach, tell us some good guys to look for Little Rock Mills on Friday night.
Well, Elijah Moody, the quarterback, will definitely stand out. He's about 6 foot, 215, 220-pound quarterback. Can run, likely going to be one of the fastest kids on the field. Dynamic when he's run, hard guy to take down. Number nine, the running back for him. Does a really good job of getting downhill. He's balanced back. Number one, I think he's a sophomore, 6'4", a lot of length, catches the ball well, good speed, which when you're talking about Little Rock Mills, you're talking about athletes. Yeah. They're going to be over the field, all over the field. If it's anybody I can equate that we played earlier, it'd be something like a Prescott. You know, a lot of athletes all over the field trying to get it to them. And if you're not in the right places reading what you're supposed to read, that one step will get them out of there and it can change the course of a game. But if we read what we're supposed to read, do our jobs, you know, make sound fundamental football, then I think it definitely makes it for it to be a good game, definitely.
Well, Coach, hey, appreciate your time. Have a great week of practice, and we'll see you Friday night against Mills.
Yes, sir. Go Panthers.
And now we're going to move on to the Horatio Lions. The Horatio Lions started out 1-0 as they beat the Costot River Eagles at home this week. Tony had a great game. Really – everybody did well in that game.
Yeah, 38-8, and got to play a lot of kids, which is always, it's a great game. It is great to win, but I know as coaches go, they like to see as many kids get playing time as possible. Parents like that as well. So I think it was a good night for the Lions start the season off 1-0, start the season off with a win. You know, sometimes you get into the season and you don't have a win early and you kind of – that monkey gets heavier on your back. Lions don't have to worry about that this year.
No, they don't. And you know, as we talked about last week, they got a game in week zero, which Coach Willis thinks –
he was excited about that.
Yeah, he was excited about that. And, you know, they come out of it with a, you know, pretty much – unscathed, have one injury that Richard Frady was injured in the game Friday night. He will not be playing against the Leopards this week as Horatio travels to DeQueen in the Sevier County rivalry. And, looking for a closer game there this year, Tony. Last year it was 35-0, but you recall a lot of young linemen on the Horatio team that have grown up, had a year of experience.
What I remember from that game is DeQueen getting out 21-0, and then the Lions really settling in. And again, like we talked about before, a back and forth tussle for a long time. And then the Leopards got a late touchdown to invoke the sportsmanship rule. But Lions had a big night. They've got some talent, Greg. Joseph Fonseca had a big night for the Lions with three touchdowns. Hayden Hicks big night for the Lions. Marvin Martinez on defense. They've got some talent, Greg, and could give the Leopards some problems.
Yeah, a couple other guys. Isaiah Callahan, too, had 48 yards on three carries and a touchdown. You know, Richard Frady, before he got hurt, had three carries for 23 yards and, 38 return yards. So they had a lot of guys do a lot of different things. And so we'll see how they fare this week against the Leopards. And we'll talk to Coach Paul David Willis now and see what he has to say about it.
Okay, we got Coach Paul David Willis today. And, Coach, appreciate you taking time out to talk to us. First week zero in the books. Did a little finagling to get a game on week zero, and it worked out well for you.
Well, it did. I mean, I liked the idea of being off week three before we start district, so that was kind of a motivating factor. And I talked to Coach Barrett up Costot and got that game, and they needed the game, and it worked out good for us. So yeah. I appreciate him.
Well, a big win over Costot, a historic game. And we talked about that last week, the first high school football game for Costot River. And you also talked about not wanting to be the first one to lose to Costot River, too. And you didn't do that. A big win, 38-8. Congratulations on that. Had a lot of players that did really well this week, looking at Joseph Fonseca for one, and I'm probably not pronouncing his name right. Fonseca.
Well, you're close. It's Fonseca.
Fonseca. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll answer that. As long as you call him for supper, he'll be okay.
Okay. Well, I mean, great game by him. 12 carries for 122 yards, two catches for 27 yards, and three TDs. Man, that's just an outstanding effort by that young man.
He did. He played hard. You know, this is his first game at halfback. He was a receiver for us last year, and we moved him into halfback because he's one of our better athletes, and he did a good job, ran the ball hard. He actually is kind of funny. He had three touchdowns, but he was actually in the end zone six times because he had three different touchdowns that were called back because of penalties that we made. So he spent a whole lot of time in the end zone and only got credit for half of them.
Well, that's really great too, but on one side, but also gives you some things to work on this week, too, to make some corrections there. I'm just going to talk about a few other players here. Hazen Hicks, he had 81 yards on nine carries and a TD and a couple of extra points. He had 46 return yards. Isaiah Callahan, 48 yards, one TD. Richard Frady, 23 yards, 38 return yards. Isaiah Samuels, two or three passes for 27 yards. And then Marvin Martinez, just a linebacker, tight end, do-it-all kind of guy, that just the hustle player there. And the defensive leader. But you gave me these guys, so I'm going with the main guys you got, but anybody else would you like to mention?
Well, like you said, those guys, they played hard, they did well, and of course they're the skilled people, so they're going to get the stats, and stats are going to, it's going to have their names on it, even though the offensive linemen are probably have as much or more to do with the stats than the running back does. So, our offense linemen, they did some good things. Miguel Hernandez, he's a three-year starter for us on the offensive line. And, he did some good things. Our tackles, Colin Bailey Green, they both did some good things and opened up some holes. So our running game was actually pretty effective.
Well, that's great to hear, Coach. We talked about that. I mean, you had a lot of young linemen last year, and they matured and got experience. Apparently did a really good job.
Well, they did, and I'm proud of them. So it's always good correcting mistakes after a win, and that's something that we hadn't had the luxury of doing in the past few years. And if you start trying to do that when you get beaten, it's kind of like a chewing session, and it's kind of hard to get a whole lot of things done. But after you win one, you kind of feel free to correct things a little easier.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a little more receptive to it, aren't they? Everybody's in a better mood. But
right.
So anything else you want to say before we move on to this week?
No, I mean, I just, you know, they've got a young program up at Costot River, and you know, it's hard to start a football program. You know, when you got kids that's never played football before, you know, I think I made a statement last week that sometimes they don't know if it's, you know, blown up or stuffed, and you know, I mean, it's hard, and I know it's hard, and you know, my hat's off to Coach Barrett. I've kind of been where he's at before, and it's not all fun, but he's doing a good job, and you know, if the kids will stay with it and the community will stay with it, help the program survive, they'll be better off for it.
Well, I think Coach Barrett does a great job, and you know, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's a uphill climb, but you know, being part of something that's historic like that is, you know, those kids need to take. You know, they're doing something that a lot of people wouldn't even do because it's so hard. But anyway, moving on to this week, got DeQueen this week, so the Battle of Sevier County. What are your thoughts on that? Y'all won. DeQueen got, well, you know, DeQueen got beat 28-0 by Mena. So,
well, my thoughts is it's going to be kind of the same thing that we had this past Friday night. It's just that the shoe's on the other foot. I mean, you know, we kind of had Costot River, you know, outnumbered. We kind of had them outmanned, and you know, that's kind of the way the game turned out. So this week it's the same story. You know, we're going to be outnumbered and outmanned when we play the Queen. So, you know, we're going to be Costot River this week. And you gotta show up, you gotta put your helmet on, you gotta put your shoulder pads on and strap it up and, you know, play the game and hope for the best. And that, you know, that's all you can do. And that's one thing about the game of football. You're gonna struggle sometimes. And, you know, we proved last year we struggled with them. They had us outmanned and outnumbered and, you know, kind of put one on us. So I'm hoping that we can make it a little bit more respectable this year.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the things I expect a closer game this year. I think that, you know, you had a lot of young linemen last year. They've got a year of experience. That's going to help a lot. And I just expect the game to be, a closer game this year. And I understand where you're coming from. But, I think there's a lot of difference between the last week and this week, and one of the things.
I hope so.
Yeah, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was just the fact that, you know, it's a Sevier County game, and I think everybody gets excited for that, and it's something that, you know, while both teams may not have the best records year in, year out, I think it's something that everybody from in Horatio and DeQueen could be excited to play, you know, and just, you know, and just have a good time with it and enjoy the fact that it's Sevier County.
Right. Yeah, and I agree with you. And I mean, I'm from here, so I understand the history of it. And I know, you know, really, I guess my big desire would be that both schools could get things back football-wise like it was back in the, you know, the 80s and 90s, where, you know, football mattered and football was important. And, I'm not saying football is the most important thing on face earth, but, you know, there's lessons to be learned in this game that will help these young people grow up and develop and be good citizens if we will push them to play. But, you know, that's – I hate it, but that's not where we're at in society now. And I wish we could go back to that and have this game and compete and play hard and play fair and shake hands when the game's over and still be friends. Because, you know, that's what games are about.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, and one thing about that, you know, I think one of the things that helps all that, coach, is winning. And you know, it's kind of the chicken and the egg thing. Who, what came first, the winning or the tradition and stuff? But I do believe that you know, winning cures a lot of ills. And you, I know you found that out this week. But I think
I agree with you. And that's, You know, both programs need to win.
Yeah, that's right. And on a consistent basis for a while. But right. I was going to ask you one more question. Did you have any injuries coming out of the win over Costa River?
Yes, we did. We Richard Frady, our sophomore running back, he will not be available this week. He went to the hospital with a concussion, so he will be out in the very minimum of this week. And we're just going to have to kind of play it by ear and kind of see what happens in the future. I know there's no way he's going to play this week.
Yeah.
And for safety issues, we need to evaluate that as he gets better and just sit down and make a wise decision for his safety. And that's kind of what we're going to do. And then we had a couple other young men that had some injuries, but I think they're going to be able to play. So, but that's the only one that I know for sure right now is not going to be available.
Okay. Well, and you know, he did a good job before he got hurt. I mean, you know, based on
well, he did, and yeah. he gives some depth and some a chance to rest some of those guys back there. So that's really going to put us kind of in the bind.
Right, right. Well, Coach, I appreciate you talking to me and taking the time to talk to me. And I look forward to this game this week because, again, I'm a Sevier County native as you are, and I think it's a good thing for Sevier County if we can keep this going and just, you know, like you said, play hard, hit each other when the game's over, shake hands, and be friends.
Right.
I think that's an important thing out of this game.
Well, I agree with you, and I appreciate you for calling and appreciate you doing what you do.
Hey, no problem. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.
That'll work.
All right.
We'll talk to you then.
Thank you.
All right, and I want to give a massive, massive shout-out to our brand-new title sponsor for the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, helping us in so many different ways by sponsoring us. It is Pilgrim's Pride, and hey, man, you can go to jobs.pilgrims.com if you want to learn more about what it's like working for Pilgrims. But we've talked about it a lot on this podcast. A lot of their areas overlap with ours, and they employ the community. They're a lifeline here, and it's not just working in the actual plants. It could be you're a poultry farmer, and you are raising chickens for Pilgrims. You're driving the trucks. You're doing there. It's so many different things. So many different jobs for you out there. Plus, we get to all go to the store and enjoy great chicken from them as well. So their mark is everywhere.
Yeah, and you know, you don't even have to do that. If you're eating chicken somewhere at a donation, Pilgrims probably donated that. And a lot of times cooked it.
True.
Their employees cooked it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very involved in the community, you know. So in all the communities. And, you know, you talk about there are so many different people that are associated with Pilgrims and with the chicken industry,
mm-hmm.
doing different things that, you know, they employ and they benefit so many areas of our local community. They've got a hatchery over in Nashville. They've got a feed mill north of Nashville.
Right.
They've got this plant in the Queen, which is one of their biggest plants and one of their most productive plants.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely amazing. Listen to this kind of list of jobs, and there's so much more than this, too. But you can hop, if you want to join the Pilgrims team, you can find jobs in accounting and finance, in administration, animal welfare, building and grounds, business and operations, culinary, customer service, driving, engineering, environmental health and safety, fabrication operations. You can join hourly productions, hourly maintenance, hourly sanitations. Human resources they hire for, internships they have, talent programs, finance and fabrication operations. It's endless, the amount of that. Sales and marketing, I mean, research and development. There's a place for everybody to work at Pilgrim. So maybe you're not on the production floor. Maybe you're not that kind. You want to be in the office. Maybe you want to be driving the truck. Maybe you want to be doing sales. All of it is available to
Security
you.
Security guard.
security guard. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
There's literally no stone unturned when it comes to working with pilgrims. So, and the greatest part about it is their benefits. Let's be honest. You can learn so much more about Better Futures, their free community college program we talked about a couple episodes ago. Their insurance, comprehensive medical plans for the care you need, growth. No better company to take ownership of your own career growth than Pilgrim's Pride. Learning, take advantage of more than 2,000 courses in their development program. This is not like one of those businesses where they're going to hold you down. They want you to stay in down. They encourage it. Move yeah. on up the in the company. 401ks, paid holidays and time off, and so much more. The benefits at Pilgrim's are absolutely amazing. So, you know, I know you can drop a application. By. They have an office for that. And then also you can just go online at jobs.pilgrims.com.
Yeah, they're looking for you today.
That's right. If you think you can join their team and be an asset to one of a thriving company here in Southwest Arkansas, join Pilgrim's Pride today.
The Foreman Gators ended a 32-game losing streak this week as they beat the Parker's Chapel Trojans 38-16 at home. I know they were excited about that down there.
Yeah, I could imagine.
You know, getting over a 32-game losing streak is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Foreman Gators, they had a lot of guys play really well, and we'll talk to Coach Ed Baker here in a minute and see what he says about it. But great job for them. And it's like Tony said, you get that monkey off your back, you got to win now.
Absolutely.
So now you can be looser about playing. You can play, you know, you can go play. They go to Hampton this week, which is in the other side of the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that must be far away.
Yeah, it's about 2.5 hours away, so it's a long trip. Hampton Bulldogs, you know, they played Lafayette County and beat them 30-18, which is you know, we know a little bit about Lafayette County. We saw them play last year a couple of times, and they've got some talent there. So if Hampton beat them, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be something to deal with. They've got a new coach there this year, and you know, they're going to run a spread offense with two backs, and then what's going to happen for Foreman? There's two things that I think is important. One is to not get too high off that victory. And the second is to make sure that you don't let that bus ride get to you. Because a long bus ride is, you know, just tough.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember taking those long bus rides, and it was a tough game.
Yeah.
But sometimes it also was like, you know, we're ready to get off this thing and unleash. You know?
But if you don't play well, you get a long bus ride back home.
True.
It's a lot shorter if you win the game.
Good point.
Just want to go back and mention a couple of people that did some really good things in the Foreman game. Both Kalen Easter and Hayden Easter, who are brothers, one's a freshman. Yeah, one. And the freshman, Hayden, started out at quarterback, played really well there, got some cramps. So Kalen came in. He moved positions from slot to quarterback, and then he played really well too. So just wanted to mention them real quickly before we got through there. But looking at this Hampton game, I think it's going to be a good game, and it's just they're going to have to overcome the trip and not have any lag from this win after losing 32 games. We'll see what Coach Ed Baker says about the Foreman Gators in their upcoming match with the Hampton Bulldogs.
I'm here with Coach Ed Baker, the Foreman Gators. Coach, great weekend for the Gators. A win over Parker's Chapel, 38-16. Ended a 32-game losing streak. I know that was a big time down in Foreman Friday night.
Yes, sir. It was exciting for our fans, the community, our kids, especially exciting for our kids. So, yeah, it was a really, really fun night.
That's great. Well, you know, 38-16, sounds like there's a lot of offense to talk about there.
Well, yeah, on the flip side of that, we had 5 turnovers, so we got to clean that up. We could have had a few more points. We left some out there on the field.
Well, you know, if you score 38 points, you have 5 turnovers, you had a pretty good offensive night then. Somebody had to be running all over the field or something in order to do that. So,
a lot of it was our defense. We had short field most all night. I think maybe one or two possessions we started on our end of the field. So defensively, that helped us out. And then we did have some guys carry the ball, did a really good job.
That's great. Anybody stand out for you as far as, you know, making big plays or on offense and defense, things like that?
Several offensively, Ryland Johnson had a big night. He started off playing. He's got played two or three spots for us. We got several kids like that, but we wind up moving him to our B back later in the game. He had 13 rushes for 111 yards, scored a couple of touchdowns. Defensively, he had two sacks and four tackles. I thought Hayden Easter, our freshman quarterback, I thought he did a really good job running the offense. And then he kind of cramped up. His brother, who was our quarterback last year, Kalen Easter, he went in and did a really good job playing quarterback. He's one of our starting slots, but he did a phenomenal job playing quarterback as well. He wound up with a couple of rushing touchdowns as well. And then so if we're running the ball pretty good, that means our offensive line did a good job. And that's Colton Broomfield's our center, Caleb Buchanan at the left guard, Grayson Lumley and Ethan Craner played at the left tackle, and then on the right side, Cannon McElhannon did a really good job at tackle, and Matthew Gawicki, one of our seniors, at that right guard. And so the offensive line did a good job. Like I said, defensively, Keenan Marshall led us with seven tackles, and defensively, I thought we played really well. And the good thing was when a couple times they scored, you know, we had several turnovers, but a couple times they scored, we answered right away with a nice drive and score. So that was good to see.
Well, that's great news. And if you end a 32-game losing streak, that's great news too.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I know everybody's excited about that. So anything else you want to talk? Let me ask you one more question about the game. You come out with any injuries? Everybody okay?
Some dings and bumps and bruises like is typical after a game. I think other than that, we're pretty healthy going into this week, and we need to be. So
that's great. So talking about this week, you're going to go down to face the Hampton Bulldogs. Fun trip there to the middle of nowhere. But I always love going over there because the roads are always tight and you know, there's little towns everywhere that you go through. But Hampton had a good first week. They played Lafayette County and came away with a 30-18 win there. What do you think about the Bulldogs there?
Man, they've got three or four guys that anytime they touch the ball, they can score from anywhere, and they kind of move them around. So we'll have to figure out where those guys are at. They're impressive skill wise. They've got some big guys up front, so it'll be a challenge defensively for dang sure. And then offensively, again, those same kids are on the other side of the ball, so it'll be a challenge to move the ball.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I just, you know, it looks like where they may be a little bit suspect is on the defensive line. You know, and because they don't have anybody coming back from the year before, so they've got to fill that in. But they may have done that pretty well if they held Lafayette County to 18 points.
Yes, sir.
And so looks like it's going to be a stiff test for y'all. You know, I think that not something you can't handle now. Get one win, you want another one.
So. Yes, sir. I think our kids are excited, like I said, and so they're looking forward. They're not. I think they handled it well. They were excited the other night, but I think they're not satisfied. They want to keep improving and getting better and get a few more of those W's.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's nice to have – I mean, I know a victory is a nice thing, and you, but you talked about turnovers, and you know, and you can work on those things, so getting that better too. But it's nice to be working on things after you have a win.
Yes, sir, definitely.
Coach, anything else before I let you go?
No, just we got junior high at Center Point on Thursday night. Looking forward to that. And then, like I said, we got to go to Hampton on Friday. So busy week for us. We got some volleyball tonight at Cossetot River. So lots of stuff going on up here.
Okay, well, I appreciate you pointing that out for me, but this is a busy time of year for everybody, and lots of football going on, and don't forget other sports too, just like volleyball tonight against Costa River. So I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, and I look forward to talking to you next week again and talk about another Foreman Gator victory.
Yes, sir. That's what we're looking forward to. We appreciate you having us.
Thank you.
Now it is time for my favorite part of the show. It's time for all the awards, and we're doing things just a little bit differently this year instead of doing.
Was the Taylor Swift moment.
That was good. That's a close second. We're talking about her later, right? I hope so.
Every week.
Yeah, every week. Yeah, the Swifty update. But no, it's the award show, and I like the way we're going to do it now. We're going to do them all. It is an award show. That's every right. Episode, we get to give away a ton of awards kind of all at once. So I like this way.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
First one we're going to give away is the Queen Leopards Player of the Week Award, and that's sponsored by Shelter Insurance, Jeff Woods.
Great guy.
Dallas Logan, 7 tackles, a tackle for loss, 2 passes defended against the Bearcats of MENA.
And then we move on to Horatio, sponsored by Horatio State Bank.
Marvin Martinez had a big game defensively for the Lions.
Foreman.
Rylan Johnson. I'm sorry. You go ahead and.
I'm sorry. Foreman, also sponsored by Horatio State Bank.
We appreciate them, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Rylan Johnson, 111 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, 4 tackles, 2 sacks. So nice. Big night on both sides of the ball.
And for the Nashville Scrappers, which is sponsored by Loveless Refrigeration.
Abari Williams, 11 tackles, senior middle linebacker for the Scrappers.
And then we move on to the Dirks Outlaws, sponsored by Shelter Insurance, Todd Moore.
Drake Thatcher had 80 total yards for the Dirks Outlaws.
Nice.
MENA, sponsored by the Union Bank of MENA.
Chance Hughes had a big game with 80 total yards, a couple of touchdowns, 10 tackles, and a pick for the Bearcats.
So he wasn't on the kickoff teams then.
Well, he punted. Yeah. No, it was Becca that punted. He was everywhere.
Yeah. He was probably on those teams, too.
Yeah, yeah. He was like Savoir Faire.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember Savoir Faire?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, he was everywhere.
Yeah. I got you. Let's move on. The Costa River Eagles Union Bank of MENA Player of the Week is going to be?
Chris Carterby, a guy you're going to hear name a lot this year in all their sports, 98 yards rushing.
All right. So now we're going to move on to the area awards, and the first one's going to be the Offensive Player of the Area, and that's sponsored by Toad Thumper Lures.
The Horatio Lions, Joseph Fonseca, 12 carries, 122 yards, 2 catches for 27 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
All right, and the Defensive Player of the Area is sponsored by the Horatio State Bank.
Bearcats middle linebacker Ryder House, 14 tackles and a tackle for loss.
Okay, now we've got the Player of the Area sponsored by Mud Creek Designs and the winner of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Player of the Area T-shirt. You get to wear it with pride.
Nice.
Yeah.
And we'll need a picture.
Yeah, we do.
Trip Hensley plays both ways for the Bearcats, Greg, plays defensive back, plays quarterback, 170 yards passing, a passing and a rushing touchdown, and a pick. In the ball game against the Leopards.
And congratulations to Trip Hensley. An outstanding game. And I
wanted to quickly say we want to shout out Domtar as well because they sponsor the Ashdown Player of the Week. But, of course, Ashdown did not play a game last week.
We'll just make Jim Cross the Ashdown person.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Jim Cross gets Domtar person of the week.
I'm sure that'll be fine with him and
them. POG, same initial.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. POG.
Before we move on to the next award. Yeah, I'm sorry if I cut you off, Greg.
No, that's okay. Not a problem at all. That's all the awards that we have, but we do have the Game of the Week, which is sponsored by the Queen Motorsports, and that Game of the Week this week is going to be?
Horatio at DeQueen, the Sevier County Showdown.
All right, let's take a second to talk about DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, one of our oldest sponsors here on the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air and still going strong. We appreciate them so much. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West right here in DeQueen. Give them a call at 870-642-8387.
That's Vets.
That is Vets, and that's how you can schedule your appointment today for absolutely anything that you need veterinary-wise. Also, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown. Give them a call at 870-898-5181. Which is nothing.
I can't make anything out of that. I've tried.
That's right.
At least not related to pets.
Yeah. But if you're in or around Ashdown, it's a little bit of a quicker trip for you. Same great service. That's right. And Dr. Martin, we can't say enough good things about him. I've had to use him personally for a bunch of different things. And
we just all have.
Yeah. Feel great about having him in the area. And I don't think we could be blessed with a better veterinary service.
Well, we talk a lot about different people and what they're selling and what mm-hmm. they're doing, and they do a great job with veterinary services.
They do
and everything, but they're also great community partners.
True.
I mean, they are involved in so many different things. I'm not even going to try to list it because I'd leave something out. But both Dr. Martin and Jennifer, just great community partners for the Queen.
Absolutely.
And Ashdown.
Yeah, big supporters of the Leopards and the Panthers. Ashdown Veterinary Clinic and DeQueen Animal Hospital, amazing reviews across the board, 5 stars. You can go on Google and read about everything, you'll see plenty of reasons why you should be taking your little critters there, big or small.
Yeah, and you don't have to, because we'll tell you.
That's right.
We've all been there, like
that's
you
right.
said.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
They're the best.
That's right. You that's can go all. To. Yeah, they are the best. DeQueen Animal Hospital / Ashdown Veterinary Clinic on Facebook. Go and give them a like if you can't use their services today. We appreciate them so much, and a big thank you to them.
All right, we've finished up all the high school talk for this week. Now we're going to look at some of the national news that piques our interest.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, Tony, can we talk about my deal first?
Sure.
I'm just, because it, just another reason we do this show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want, we do this for the kids, and I want you to know that. And it's because they don't get the respect they deserve from other outlets.
Yeah.
And you look at, I looked through the paper Sunday, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, the statewide newspaper, self-proclaimed.
That's what they claim.
Yeah. Self-proclaimed.
Corner to corner,
yeah,
right?
Statewide newspaper. The Arkansas Democrat Gazette 2025 high school football preview, and there is not a school south of Little Rock on there.
Yeah.
Not one school. Not one.
Yeah.
Not one.
Yeah.
When you look in here, Pocahontas is on there. You know where Pocahontas is?
I do.
Way up there. Yeah. That'd be better covered by Missouri. I don't understand it.
Yeah. I think it's pretty clear why this podcast was started.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just, if you saw that, why that is, there could be varying reasons, but none of them acceptable to me.
Yeah.
If you're going to – don't put that you're doing the high school football preview when you don't do half the teams. Mm-hmm. You can't do that.
You can't tell me in our community the way – even we don't go to the playoffs every year in football, but this community gets behind this football team as far as supporting them. You couldn't find one person to sponsor an Leopard ad in the Queen. I'm going to say that's because you didn't try.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep.
That's right. But anyway, I just wanted to point that out because there is a reason we do this, and that's why, right here.
Yeah.
There's proof of it.
Yeah.
So don't get any coverage. So
shout out to Hootens.
Yeah.
They didn't leave anybody out.
No. Nope. Well, other than Constock River, they left them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah, true.
Yeah. So, but they did get us in there. Fortunately.
Before you started this, you said I wanted to go with my deal first, and I was going to say your deal or Micah's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because this is, I think we should.
Micah made a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to get your takes on this because I've been, my ESPN app just blew up like crazy. What was it, Friday morning?
Yeah.
Or Thursday night into Friday morning?
Horatio basketball coach Bryce Merrick was the first one to alert me to the trade. And. You guys know, everybody knows, I'm anything but a Cowboys fan, but I'm not so sure this is a good trade for the Packers. And you definitely can't measure this trade until the Cowboys make those two picks. You just can't because right now those are blanks on a draft card somewhere, and who knows who the Cowboys will get.
with with those two first round picks. And then you take them and Kenny Clark and you put that beside Micah Parsons, and then you can evaluate the trade fairly. Plus the Packers are paying Micah Parsons a boatload of money. He's the highest paid defensive, well, he's the highest paid non-quarterback now in football.
What?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think both Micah Parsons and the Cowboys wanted him to be a Cowboy, but they just got too much yeah going on, and it got to a point where it wasn't going to happen.
Mm.
And so they did what they could.
If I'm a Cowboys fan, the only reason I'm upset about this is, could you have not have found somebody in the AFC to trade him to?
Right. I mean, we got to play him in week four. I know.
And if the Cowboys will get the playoffs, probably there at some point as well. If you're going anywhere, you're going to have to beat the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my only critique of the Cowboys in this trade.
Mm.
So see, Tony's got a better look on it than I do. I think they should keep, you know, you got to keep your stars.
Right.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
But I'm not sold that he wanted to be there maybe as much as you are.
Yeah.
You know, there was stuff out there that he wanted to play for different teams, including the Steelers. So I'm not so sure that he wanted to be there. I'm not so sure that he would have signed the same deal with the Cowboys. So I think the Cowboys got what they could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Well,
So two first-round picks is what they got for him.
Plus a defensive tackle.
A pretty good defensive tackle.
Yeah.
It's not like they're going to have to fill that spot with a rookie.
Right.
They've got Kenny Clark.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Lee Corso.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Yeah. It was
time for him to go.
It was. Some people may say the same about me.
Me too.
But
for different reasons, though.
But the end of an era. He has been the face of College Game Day for a long time. And I'm not the biggest College Game Day fan. It's a long story why I'm not. But I did watch that one. And, it was I'm sure some grown men cried on Saturday morning.
I'm sure they did too.
Yeah. You did not cry at that?
I did not cry.
I did not cry over that. but I'm sure some people did. But the thing about it is I think what they did was appropriate. I really thought it would be a 2 or 3 hour tribute to him.
Yeah,
and they did. Oh. They kept it down to about 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, they did,
and I think that was good.
Yeah,
and he fumbled through what he had to do, and did okay.
Yeah,
and got the headgear put on with the help of Kirk Herbstreit.
Well, and he got all his picks right.
Oh yeah,
every pick he made Saturday was right.
Yeah,
and that there was some good matchups, and he even picked those good matchups right. Is there another Coach Corso down the road? Is Pat McAfee going to become the new, I hate to use the word clown, but the comic relief of College Game Day now? And is he going to do that nutty stuff, or you think they'll retire that?
I don't know, but I don't think they'll do headgear anymore.
Yeah.
That's always been the big deal.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah.
And I think that, but I think McAfee's going to be the one that takes up. It's definitely not going
to
be
another reason for me not to watch College Game Day.
Maybe they replace him with a Kane Corso.
Well, they might.
Yeah,
they could. But it's not going to be the same without him.
No, it's not.
In the last couple of years, he had a stroke and he was 91 years old, but there was still something there that it'll be different without him.
It definitely
and I think
will.
It'll be lesser.
I would agree.
Yep. So, big game this week in Arkansas.
Big game. I'm surprised more people aren't talking about the Arkansas State-Arkansas game at War Memorial. I think about driving up and watching that. Hogs had a big win, 52-7 over Alabama A&M. And Arkansas State beat a pretty good I know that they are a 1AA team, is what they used to call them.
Mm-hmm.
But 42-24 over SEMO, Southeast Missouri. But
the I think that's going to be a better ball game Saturday. And I may eat these words. You may just feed them back to me next week. But I think it's going to be a better ball game Saturday than probably Razorback fans would want it to be.
Yeah. Well, I think I tell you this. I'm taking the under on the over and under.
Yeah.
I think I will. Because I think it'll be a closer game than what people think it'll be.
I saw a meme had a Razorback patting a wolf on the head, the red wolf on the head, saying, "You asked for this, little brother." And I have a lot of pent-up resentment about being called the little brother in a state from the Marshall, West Virginia days. And I really think State will be ready to play.
Oh, yeah, I do too. And, you know, the thing about it is, and you may tell me I'm wrong, but if Arkansas plays Arkansas State enough, sooner or later Arkansas State will beat them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That'll happen. I'm not going to say that it was a bad decision on Frank Broyles' part not to play them, because then you start splitting allegiances. Because right now, before, you could always been a Razorback fan and a Wolf fan,
yeah,
or an Indian fan back in the day. But now, if you're playing each other, you can't – you really – I mean, I know you can, but, you know, it's like you can't be a Marshall fan and a West Virginia fan.
You cannot.
And you're not going to be
– You're not a football fan if you are.
Yeah, you're not going to be a Razorback and a – you know, I could always watch Arkansas State and say, oh, yeah, I hope they do well.
Yeah.
But now –
Not anymore.
Yeah, that's right. But I think one of the things I think they should do, this is my opinion, I think it ought to be the opening game of the season. It ought to be a Labor Day weekend, and they ought to make a big deal out of it, and they ought to keep it in Little Rock.
Yeah. If Arkansas is going to continue to play in Little Rock, this is the game that makes sense. And I really believe if the Razorbacks ever abandon War Memorial Stadium, Arkansas State will start filling in that void. They'll start getting a big-time opponent and play in Little Rock. So, you know, I think there's a lot of moving parts here, but I do think State will play well.
Yeah, I do too.
Jones is a good coach.
Yeah, and I do think that it was – but I think if they're going to do – if they're going to do this, they need to make it a big deal.
I agree.
You know, as big as you can make it.
Yeah.
You know, not make
it. Give it a name, have a trophy, right. Stuff like that. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll see what happens. I'm interested to see. Talking about the football this last weekend, though, you know, a lot of good games, a lot of close games, a lot of games that people thought were going to go one way didn't go that way, Tony.
Yeah, most losses by AP top 10 teams in 51 years. And I've got down here on our show notes, which surprised you most, Ohio State over Texas, LSU over Clemson, Florida State over Alabama, or Miami, Florida over Notre Dame. It's almost got to be Florida State over Bama.
Yeah.
Because they not only beat Bama, they handled Alabama to the point where Alabama fans are calling for Saban to come out of retirement.
Yeah, he's not going to do that.
Oh, he'd be crazy if he couldn't do
that. But, you know, one of the things about this, and, you know, you talk about the most in 51 years, one of the reasons why is because good teams are playing good teams more.
Yeah.
You know, before you usually played three money games.
Yeah.
And then, you know, or something. Then you started playing these tougher games. And I think there's conference pressure. There's also TV pressure to play these games like this. And, you know, when you go, I mean, it's just like Alabama, you know, if you gave them 2 or 3 weeks and then when they went to Florida State, maybe a different outcome.
Yeah.
But you got to give it to Florida State. That's the biggest surprise to me.
Yeah. I agree.
By far.
I agree.
And I wasn't surprised about Ohio State that at home. That doesn't surprise me. LSU, a little bit surprising. They played better than I thought they would. And, of course, Alabama, the big surprise. But I was surprised that Miami beat Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I thought Notre Dame would be better. But, you know, you got Carson Beck. He's quarterback national championships.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, Notre Dame, they're kind of getting a reputation for not starting the season strong.
Yeah.
You know? And You look at the rest of the Irish schedule, they play one team that's ranked right now. Now, that could change as the season. And that's next week against A&M. If they lose to A&M, they're out of the playoff talk. Mm-hmm. There's no way they can get – even Notre Dame, you know, as much, you know, benefit of the doubt as the Irish get, if you're 10-2 with their schedule, you can't make the playoffs. I'm sorry.
Well, they're not going to be 10-2. They'd be 9-3.
Oh.
Razorbacks are going to beat them.
Okay. All right. I get where you're going.
I'm just kidding. I know when they'll get well, that week right there.
Yeah.
That's the week they'll get well. Yeah. I promise you. That'll happen. But you know, still fun. It'll still be a fun game.
Yeah. Oh, it'll definitely be electric atmosphere in Fayetteville when the Irish take the field. I mean, they're just one of the iconic college football brands. Mm-hmm. And I know you've seen Alabama probably mm-hmm. play several times. Mm-hmm. You think about maybe USC being one of those, Penn State, and probably Notre Dame's right there in that same conversation.
Yeah, Michigan, Ohio State, yeah. Texas. Yeah, yep. All those teams are yep. You're right. You're right. But anything else you want to talk about before we go?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it.
All right. Well, we appreciate everybody listening to our podcast. And I hope you like the way we designed it this year. And we're still, if you got something to let us know about it. And we'd be glad to talk to you about it or take it into consideration. But for this week, that's going to be it. We thank the sponsors so much for what they do. We couldn't do it without them. We thank the listeners, because if you didn't listen, we wouldn't have anything. But most of all, we thank the kids, because they're the ones we're doing it for. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.